It's great to see everyone. It's good to be back in services. I think most of you know that Connie and I weren't here last week because of her surgery. And I thought before I got into the message, I'd just give you an update. First of all, certainly thank everyone for all of their prayers. They've been answered, we feel. She's made good progress. If you didn't know what the surgery was, she had a partial knee replacement, which is a lot different than a full knee replacement as far as the recovery time and how intrusive it is and everything else. But she came through the surgery without any problems. She has been ahead of the curve as far as where her therapist thought she would be all along. I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday of this past week, he actually cleared her to start walking around without braces, without a walker, without a cane around the house, just to get used to walking normally without any help. She still, if she goes out, of course, needs something just in case she stumble or trip or anything. But I've told a few people, it's just for me, it puts a smile on my face every time I see her walk now, because she actually walks upright. She's not leaning to one side. She's not hobbled around, and she's like a normal person again as far as how she stands and holds herself. So it'll be good. Everything seems to be going good, so certainly keep your prayers up that she continues her rehabilitation and it goes well. We were a little concerned before this about making sure she would be ready for the feast, because it isn't that far away anymore. But all indications are everything will be great for that, and she won't have any problems. So, and then also I wanted to just give you an update with my dad. We've been talking about him for quite a while. Some of you know him. Last, I believe, I told you he was going in for surgery for breathing problems and some pain problems. He had scar tissue built up on his lungs from the radiation treatment that he had for his chemo. All of the surgeries for those all went well as far as being able to take the things off of his lungs. He spent quite a lot more time in the hospital after the surgeries than they expected. They were having trouble managing his pain. And this last week he finally went home. Pain is under control, but he still has to take medication. He's able to walk around a little better, certainly better than he was before he went in. There are at least at times in the hospital he could go without oxygen and walk around. So the downside of all of this, and I believe that I told you this before or a couple of weeks ago, is they did find some cancer again in him. They found it around his lung originally. Through this last stay, they found some more cancer back in his esophagus. So they really are just getting home, getting situated, getting him recovered from the surgeries, and they haven't decided what they're going to do. But certainly pray that he makes the best decision, that God's will be done. I don't know whether he's going to opt for more treatment or not. He hasn't really said a whole lot about that yet, but we certainly aren't ready for him to leave unless it's God's will. So keep him in your prayers. And I'm sure there are, as Mr. Joseph will let everybody know, a lot more than just our two here that need our prayers. So I'll just talk about the two I know the most about. So let's get into this first message. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Those are all probably examples you would give if you talked about different roles and responsibilities that are listed in the Bible within God's church. I think those are ones we're all fairly familiar with, or we've heard of, or we know something about the little different roles that those positions are supposed to fill within God's church. Probably pressed a little bit harder if you were asked, well, what are there any more? You might talk about spiritual gifts and different, capabilities that God gives to different people within his congregation. Being an inspired speaker, being someone who can minister as a servant, someone with the ability to exhort others, different spiritual gifts. And all of those are obviously valid roles, active roles to one level or another within God's church. And I think if you look around and you read about what those roles and responsibilities are from the Bible, you can see some of those being fulfilled by different people within the church. They're all roles that God talks about in the Bible. And God calls different people at different times to fill, to serve His people in different ways. If you take a deeper look, if you're looking at roles and responsibilities and things, the ways God calls different people for certain jobs, and you do a study on it, you'd find that there are some other roles as well that aren't really discussed as much, that we don't necessarily think about as much. Again, roles that at least over at certain periods of time, God has called people to fill. And some of them that, again, on different levels, all Christians have a part in or can take a small part in fulfilling those roles at least. And what I wanted to do today was just talk about one of those roles. The lesser known roles, I guess I'll call them. But roles that nonetheless are defined in the Bible. And we're going to look at it. Look at what the Bible says about how it was used in the past, and of course, take a little bit of time and see how it could apply to us now in our lives. Do you like surprises? I see no's, I see some smiles, but I don't see anybody, yeah! It's the greatest thing in my life! Give me a surprise a day and I'll be happy. Maybe you could say, well, if the surprise is okay, I wouldn't mind it. But most of the time, we don't really like surprises. Something where you kind of jump out of your socks and your heart beats faster and your adrenaline starts to flow and you say, why did you do that to me? We don't really like surprises. And I think if you look at the Bible, God is not generally someone who gives people a lot of surprises. He generally gives people warnings or tells them things that they can expect. You don't see God kind of jumping out at somebody and go boo very often. Every once in a while, you know, he says, guess what? I've called you for something. That's probably a little bit of a surprise. But in general, God tends to be someone who gives people a chance to ready themselves, to prepare themselves for whatever might be coming. And the role that we're going to talk about is one of the roles that helps accomplish that. God prevents surprises, or part of the way that He does that, is through a role that the Bible talks about of the watchman. Of a watchman. It's a role that has its place in the Old Testament. And we'll read some of the scriptures about that. But it also is discussed in the New. And for me, and I hope for all of you, it's interesting to kind of trace that role and then understand our part, where we come in. So I'd like to talk a little bit just about the responsibility and what it was like in the Old Testament times. Just to put you in the frame of mind maybe a little bit about what this watchman would do. I think we all know that it was a very dangerous time many, many times during the Old Testament, a more harsh world than what we live in. Easier to be taken advantage of. Your future tied to the whims of others probably more than what we have now. Wild animals were certainly roaming more free in most of the Old Testament time than they do now. You have certainly examples of that being a danger in the Bible talking about that. There wasn't a police force. There wasn't a lot of the things that we take for granted. It wasn't unusual for you to spend your life growing a crop and then have someone come by and take it from you. The role of the watchman was created to protect God's people, the nation of Israel originally, from that danger, from being caught unawares with someone trying to come and take things. People gathered in cities. They built walls. And they made towers within the walls. And they chose watchmen to man those towers. They actually even had towers out in the fields. And watchmen placed in those. Again, to be closer to where the danger might be. And it was a very respected role within the community. It wasn't something that they gave, a real role that they gave to someone lightly. Usually wasn't given to a 12-year-old boy to go up in that tower and, you know, keep your eye out and let us know if anything happens. It was a respected position. And I did a little reading on this, obviously, studying for this. And some of the duties that the watchman had were that he had to be on guard. He had to be watching, watchful. When he was in that tower, that was his focus. And there really wasn't anything else. He had to keep his eyes open and be alert and know the signs of approaching danger so that he could warn them before it was upon them. And he would listen. He also had to issue a warning if a danger was coming. He had to issue a warning. If he saw the danger, he couldn't be silent. In fact, we'll read some scriptures that God said, it's on you if you don't issue a warning, if you're in that role. It's your problem. You're going to pay a price for not fulfilling that role and not giving a warning when you should have. He had to warn the people. But the watchman was also one of the people responsible for keeping the people calm if there was danger. The watchman wasn't running around yelling and screaming and flailing his arms and saying, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Help, help, help. I hope these two people don't get us. He was actually in a great position to direct people. He was above everything, had a better view, direct people for defense, direct people to get into the town if he was within the walls. He had a view that no one else had of what was going on, and part of his job was to keep calm, but issue orders to direct people and where they should go to be safe. And he had to stay in his position, which was certainly dangerous. If you wanted to sneak up on someone, the first thing you try to do is take out the sentinels, take out the watchmen. But he would stay there. It was his job to stay there, to fight when needed, to defend when needed. So he needed to be a decent warrior too. Not shoot himself in the foot with an arrow when he was supposed to defend. And the watchman also had to serve regardless of what the weather was like. Didn't matter whether it was raining, freezing, cold, whatever, he didn't get a break. You couldn't say, well, I'd like to go up there, but boy, I just have a little bit of a chill. And, you know, my coat's a little bit thin, and I don't think I'm going to be comfortable up there, so I think I'll stay down on the ground. Didn't matter. Just like the postman, right? Rain, snow, sleet, whatever, the mail will be delivered. Well, the watchman had to do his job in any kind of weather, in any circumstance, hot or cold. And one of the things as I was thinking about this that I thought was kind of interesting from his perspective is watchmen, the watchman or a watchman, anyone that was serving that role, got to know the people of the city in a different way than most other people would. Because you're up above everything. You're kind of out of sight of the normal people. You know, we pretty much keep our views around here and the watchmen are up high. So they probably saw people in a different light than most anyone else. They probably saw the arguments and the fights and the things that people maybe thought they were doing behind their walls where no one else could see. But he got to know the people in a way that would help him to understand the people probably. And know who he could count on, knew who had a temper, knew who had a problem, know what was going on. So it was an interesting perspective and an interesting position that the watchman fulfilled. I'd like to take a few minutes here and look at some Old Testament scriptures that talk about that responsibility. The first one is in Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, we'll begin reading in verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take the warning, if the sword comes and takes them away, his blood is on his own head. In other words, if the watchman blows the warning and you say, false alarm, or I've got plenty of time, I don't need to hurry, and you end up dying or getting in trouble, it's on you. That's your problem. You were foolish and you didn't heed that warning cry. Verse 6, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but the blood I will require at the watchman's hand. That means the watchman's going to die. If he accepts that responsibility and then doesn't give a warning, then the watchman dies because he didn't fulfill that position. And it's that important to God that it was done. He's basically saying the blood of all those people is on your head and you will pay with your own. So God thought it was very important that there be a watchman and that role be fulfilled. Verse 7, so you, son of man, he's talking to Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you will hear my word, therefore you will hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. So there's a few things that we can gather about the watchman from these verses. And I actually misspoke myself in some of what I've said, because one of the things that we see is that the watchman is chosen. It wasn't something you volunteered for, and I said, if you take that position on. The watchman was chosen. He says, when you choose a person, obviously that makes more sense because the people would choose someone who they believe would fill that role. But it wasn't a voluntary position, but it was something where that person was chosen for because of his whatever qualities they thought were important at the time. But then we do see again that he was responsible for giving the warning, and God took that responsibility very seriously up to the point of his life. And we see also that God made Ezekiel the watchman over the entire nation of Israel. Now obviously that wasn't a physical watchman for physical danger. And Ezekiel didn't fill the role of warning them about physical danger other than the fact that your sins are going to lead you into these problems. Ezekiel was a watchman over the entire nation. And Ezekiel was supposed to give God's warning to the people. He also says something in verse 7. He didn't say it there. What I should say is, this isn't the first time that Ezekiel was told that he was going to be a watchman. And I wanted to show you an earlier verse where Ezekiel was also, again, God told him, this is the role I want you to play. So turn to chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, and here we'll read verses 17 through 21. Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning for me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man will still die from his iniquity, but his blood I'm going to require on your hands. See, he expected the same thing from Ezekiel, even though it wasn't warning of physical danger, but spiritual. He was warning of sin. He still said, Ezekiel, I'm going to show you where the sin is. You have to give that warning. Verse 19, yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn away from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he'll die in his iniquity, but you are delivered. But you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he'll die. Because you did not give him warning, he's going to die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, will not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Doesn't matter whether you were talking to a wicked person or a righteous person, the watchman had to give the warning, was required to give the warning. In verse 21, nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. So it was, again, that position of watchman was one of warning. In Ezekiel's, and we find that many of the other prophets also served that role of watchman. From a spiritual, I will say, point of view. They were watching, but they were listening to God, and they were giving God's warning. God made it very clear. Ezekiel, I'm not telling you, you go see what you think is wrong with the people of Israel, and then you warn them about it. He said, I'm going to show you what's wrong. I'm going to speak to you. And then I expect you to give that warning. A few more scriptures I'd like us to look at. First one is in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, we'll read verses 15 through 17. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they will be cast down, said the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we're not going to walk in it. He's talking about Israel. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. They said, we're not going to listen. Sounds a lot like our society, actually. A lot like the society we're in right now. People aren't ashamed of the abominations that they choose to do. And they choose to do abominations in God's eyes. In fact, we have many religious leaders, we'll call them religious leaders, that claim that the things that God calls are abominations are actually good, that Jesus would accept them. Sounds a lot like our society. And in the same way, God said to them, it applies to us, said, look to the old ways, ask for how things, look at how things used to be, find the good path. Everything that happened in the past wasn't old and stupid. There were reasons why people were blessed. There were reasons why God withheld his hand from some of the things that have happened from this nation. He said, look to the old ways. Find the good path. Walk in it. And he said, I've given you watchmen too, right? It wasn't just one. God sent a number of people to give that warning to Israel. So what about us? That's not all that the Old Testament has to say about watchmen, but all we're going to cover today. What about us? Does this role play any part in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ today? Well, we'll look at a few scriptures and we'll talk about that. First one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. This scripture, when I read it, struck me as very close to a description that you would give from what the Old Testament required of watchmen. Watch. Stand fast. Be brave. Be strong. And this scripture certainly is written to us, as are a lot of the other ones. So I thought, and again, this is a split sermon, so I will be as brief as I can, but we're going to look at those four parts of that responsibility and just look at a couple scriptures that reinforce that's part of what we should be doing too, part of how we should be living our life. So that first one is watch. And if you turn to Mark chapter 13, Mark chapter 13, we'll read beginning in verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know what the time is, or when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, or the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he'll find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. What Christ said to the apostles, he says to each one of us, watch. So there is a responsibility to be aware of what's going on around us. To watch. And one thing I'd like to point out about this responsibility, because I think it's easy to get it mixed up, because we think of the prophets as the only watchmen. But there are different responsibilities. There is the role of the prophet, and that the Bible talks about, and there is the role of the watchman. Now, as I mentioned, sometimes God combined both of those roles, and a prophet was also the watchman. But as we look at this, and we think about the watchman's responsibility is to see what's happening now and warn about it. To see present danger, obvious danger. If the watchman had stood up on the tower, rang the bell and said, I've looked at the birds, I've looked at the clouds, and I think the Philistines are going to come in a year and a half. he would have lost that position. And so as we think about our role and responsibility as watching, we aren't prophets. We aren't fulfilling that responsibility. I don't think any of us here would claim that God has given us the role of a prophet. But he does say we all should watch. Be aware of what's happening now. Warn about the consequences, or be aware of the consequences of things that are happening now. And I believe it's important to make that distinction, because, as I said, it's gotten confused and blurred at times. The second attribute that scripture that we read mentioned was to stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. A watchman doesn't run from threats. The way we stand fast is by remembering that we have the power of Christ behind us and strengthening us. Christians stand fast by looking to Christ and his power, not in thinking that we have the power all by ourselves to stand. There's that scripture that says, he that stands, take heed lest he falls. It's talking about someone who thinks that, any Christian who thinks they stand on their own power. Let's look at a couple scriptures. The first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word, to that gospel that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Stand fast in the gospel, in the message that Christ brought, the message that God's given to us. Stand fast in the gospel that there is better coming. Stand fast in the promises that God has made to us to protect us, to watch over us, to strengthen us. Stand fast in the gospel. Then another scripture we'll look at is in 2 Corinthians. Just a few pages farther back in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll read verse 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Not that we have dominion over you or over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand. Stand fast through having faith that what God says is going to happen, that what He promised we can count on. Stand fast in the face of threats, in the face of all that we see happening around us, so that you don't lose heart, so that you don't think God's never going to make this happen. It's all going to fall down around our faces, our ears, and be for nothing. Stand fast in those promises. The third aspect of a watchman that was mentioned in that scripture is to be brave. To be brave. And it takes bravery to live God's way of life in this world. It takes bravery, it takes courage to stand up for beliefs that most people that you come in contact with won't share. Some would even laugh at if they didn't, you know, they might do it to your face, they might probably could do it to be in behind your back. But it takes courage to do that. You know, and there are times where I think we lack some of that courage. So instead of saying, well, this is what I believe and this is why I do this, we just kind of shrink back into the corner and let things go by us. It takes bravery. People really aren't interested that much in God's message today. It's a concern for anyone who thinks about growth in the church, thinks about calling people, reaching more people, that it so many times it seems like it falls on deaf ears, even more so than it did in the past, because society is getting farther and farther away from the truth. And what God teaches is truth, so many people just don't accept anymore. It takes bravery to stand and say, these things are true and these are what I believe. Let's look at a scripture in Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35. We'll read verse 4. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong. Be brave, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, he will come and he will save you. God will come, God will protect, God will save. And we also know that many times that's physical protection. Ultimately, God is more concerned about our spiritual salvation, and there is a solid promise for our spiritual salvation if we believe and follow, if we listen. Then there's another scripture in 2 Timothy that we'll look at. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Probably a fairly familiar scripture to most people. Second Timothy chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. The watchman doesn't fear if he stays close to God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Again, I think as you think about what the role the watchman fills, you could also say those are qualities that he carries. Power and love and a sound mind. Ability to make good decisions. Concern for the people that he's watching over or she's watching over. And the power of God behind them. The fourth attribute, be strong. Be strong. Some of us don't have the ability to be physically strong anymore. Every day that goes by, we lose a little bit of that, I think. I recognize it more as I get older, too. But that isn't really where we need to be strong. We need to be strong spiritually. Strong in our relationship with God. Actually, strong in our relationship with each other. So that we can draw strength from each other. So that we can defend when we need to. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Well, we're in 2 Timothy. Let's turn to chapter 2 and we'll read a few verses there. You therefore, my son, Paul talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. He said, be strong and then teach others. Be strong and then teach others. And be ready to endure hardship because it's not going to be easy. All part of that responsibility of the watchman. And I won't turn there because I think they are familiar scriptures, but you can certainly write down Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18 in your notes, where it talks about the armor of God. The tools that he gives us to give us strength to help us in that role. The important thing to remember is God said to watch. Christ said, I'm saying it to everyone. So we do have that role. We can't just bury our heads in the sand and let the world go by. We have to watch. And those that we know, that we have contact with, that we care about, we do have to warn. Now you can do that. You have to use judgment in how you do that. You have to use compassion and tact when you're talking about people who aren't part of, haven't been called. But it's a mistake to not take an opportunity if it's available to give a little bit of a warning to say, this is what I believe. This is the danger that I see coming. This is the problem that I see with the way this person's going or the way society's going. This is what the Bible says will come of that. The role of the watchman is one that has a long history. It's a role that God established to help defend and protect the safety of his people. And it's important to remember as well that the role of the watchman isn't just for people outside of the church. You know, we help each other. We can help each other. When we see someone floundering in one way or another, someone struggling in one way or another, if we've built up the relationships so that we can talk in love and the person will accept us not as someone who's judging them but as someone who really cares about them, then we can give that role. So we can fulfill that role within the congregation as well. And that's really what God would like to see. As I said, God, or the watchman, was chosen in the Old Testament. Christ said that he made a choice. He told all of us to watch. So all of us in one way or another fulfill that role. Now I think that maybe when it gets farther along, there may be someone who actually officially, I mean in a larger sense, fulfills that role. But that doesn't mean we wait until we see someone else doing it. The role of the watchman is important for each one of us today, important for God's people. So we can't sit back in fear, waiting to see what comes, hoping someone will defend us. The watchman was a defender, right? The watchman was in the front. We have to defend God's truth, God's people, God's plan. Individually, we have to defend God's calling. We can't allow ourselves to be weak. So give some thought to this. Give some thought to that role. Give some thought to how that applies in your life. Remember those four qualities that we read in 1 Corinthians. Be watchful. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. And be strong.